been lost to abortion. And what our ministry does is She Found His Grace. We not only think of the babies who have been lost by abortion, but we serve men and women who have made the choice to have abortions and who are deeply, deeply hurting. And a lot of the men and women that we serve are actually men and women that are sitting right in our pews. One in four women that sit in the church pews are sitting in silence who have been hurt by abortion. And we believe the number of men are even higher than that. And so we come alongside those men and women that are hurting, and we offer them the hope of Jesus, because we know that Jesus is the answer. And I work with a lot of organizations around the world, and the Lord has opened up pretty unique doors for me, one of them being a atheist group that is pro-life. And I'll never forget them saying, "Serena, the church has the answer. Where is the church?" And it penetrated my heart of, where is the church? I think we have been in this place of, we don't think it happens within our congregations. And yet, you know, we have the answer. And so I'm going to share my testimony this morning and what we do as a ministry. I'm super excited that you guys invited me in. It means the world to me. This is my sweet spot. I love being able to speak at churches because I get really excited because we do have the answer and we do have the hope and we do have the message that the world needs to hear. And so it is my prayer this morning that you just really encounter the love of Jesus as I talk about abortion. And also that you guys are, you leave here inspired to have the conversation about abortion, because Jesus is the one that's going to transform and heal our land. And our land desperately needs to be healed. And we're just really, that's the call that God has placed on my life. And so I get really excited when you guys invite me in to be able to share that message, and it is always my prayer that I have people that say, you know what, that stirred me, and I want to join, and I want to partner with what God is doing. So my story starts that I grew up in a very dysfunctional, poor family. I did not grow up in the church at all, and I praise God for a man named Mr. Whistler, who saw this broken family and decided to invest in a little girl that was lost and didn't know about Jesus. And so he faithfully picked me up every Sunday, and he brought me to church. He was the first person that ever gave me a Bible. And throughout my years of moving a lot in my family, I still have that Bible today, and it's a treasure to me that someone took the time to invest in me. What Mr. Whistler didn't know at the time was what he was pouring into me would later be something that impacted my life that he had no idea. And to be honest, I don't think he knows that till this day. And it has been my mission to go back and share that with him, but the Lord hasn't opened that door yet. So Mr. Whistler poured into my life, and we had lived in Shipshawana when I was in fifth grade, and we moved around a lot, and we moved from Shipshawana, Indiana, in the middle of the night. My parents had this thing when they couldn't afford their bills, we would just move in the middle of the night, and so we moved. And actually, I get really jazzed. Am I allowed to use that word, jazzed, here? Because I'm sorry. Okay, good. Good, I'm reading the room right. I get really jazzed because when I moved from Shipshawana, I stayed in Sturgis, Michigan for a little bit. And in fact, when we were driving up here, I said, I think one of my schools happens to be close to your church. So I'm a little feisty because I love taking back what the enemy tried to steal. And so I feel like the Lord always brings me back to that territory. So this is really good for me this morning. And so my parents dropped my sister and I off in Sturgis, Michigan for a little bit. They moved to North Carolina and eventually came back and they got us. And we moved to a little place called Middlebury. And during that time, what happened was I had an uncle that started coming around our house. And what ended up happening was I was sexually assaulted at 13, and that resulted in an unplanned pregnancy. My parents didn't know what to do, and so they went to a pro-life Catholic doctor. And I like to say that he had a misplaced compassion. He thought that it would be best if they offered me an abortion. And so my mom, I remember my mom just nodding her head, yes, that's what we were going to do. I had no idea what that was. I had never heard that word before. And I just trusted the adults that were in my life that they had my best interest in mind. And so I was taken to a clinic in South Bend, Indiana, where that day radically changed our lives. I think if my parents would have known what was going to happen in that room, in that clinic, they probably would have made a different decision than what they did. We left that clinic traumatized. We left broken, and we never wanted to talk about what happened that day. A few years later, Planned Parenthood had come into our school, Middlebury Schools. So if you have kids in public school, I highly, highly suggest that you ask a lot of questions. Even if they're not coming into your schools as Planned Parenthood, they are coming in as medical providers sharing the same ideas as Planned Parenthood. So ask a lot of questions and tell them no, you do not want them teaching your children. And so what happened was I was still pretty naive. I didn't know what Planned Parenthood stood for. And so we ended up, my husband, who is with me this morning, we've been married for 30 years. We dated all through high school, but we faced another unplanned pregnancy. And we went to Planned Parenthood, and they said, you're young, you're poor, and you're in school, and you should abort your baby. And I went out to the parking lot that day, and my husband grew up in the church, but they never talked about abortion. And he looked at me and he said, well, what do you think about aborting this baby? And I had never shared my story with him. And so I shared my story with him. And at 13, I didn't know what abortion was, but at 16, I knew what abortion was. And I knew that was something that I was not going to do. And when I shared my story with him, he looked at me as a 17-year-old and he said, I don't know how we'll figure it out, but we'll figure it out. And that day we chose life in the parking lot of Planned Parenthood. It was very scary to think that we were going to have to tell his parents who he was in the church. I was not in church at that time. But his parents were a great support for us because they came around us. Our church came around us. They didn't let us sit in our sin. They called out our sin, but they also showed us a lot of grace and a lot of love and a lot of skills that we needed to parent our child. So we ended up getting married in high school. And by the time we were 23, we had our first, we had two children and we bought our first house. And we thought we were beating all odds and that life was great. And then I faced a miscarriage, and it really rocked my world. I didn't know how to process at the time that I was going through a double grief at that time. And so we started to have marital issues. I was struggling with a lot of health issues, and we didn't know, we couldn't pinpoint exactly what was going on. And so as we continued to just really, really struggle, and a lot of people, well, no one in the church knew what was happening with us. We did not share that part of our story. We really reached a point when my kids hit middle school that I started to believe a lie that I was not worthy enough to be a wife or a mother. And my plan was, with just taking the bait of the enemy, my plan was I was going to move out of my house. I was going to bless my husband off to get a better wife, a better mother for my children. And at that point, I was just really broken. And I started to drink, and I started to use drugs, and my life was a total disaster. It was one night that I was at a restaurant, and I had way too much to drink, and I was very selfish at that point, and all I was thinking about was, I don't want to get arrested. I don't want to go to jail tonight. And so I started to text people to come and get me, and people were really tired of 3 a.m. text. It wasn't funny anymore. And one by one, people started to tell me no. And I thought that it was the worst night of my life. But what I didn't know was God was going to encounter me that night. And that night I got in my car and I just began to weep. And I said, God, I have no one but you right now. And what I love is that God saw me as a broken, post-abortive, high and drunk woman. And he lavished me in a love that I'll never forget. He was waiting for me to call upon him. We can praise God for that. And so that night I knew I needed to go home both physically and spiritually. And by God's grace, I made it home. And I got to the door, and I did not deserve for my husband to welcome me in the door, but God had a bigger redemption plan for us. And so he welcomed me in, and I began my counseling. And I really, in my world of what I do, you're always told, and I hear this all the time, and maybe you guys have never heard this, but this is the language that's always used in my line of work. But people always say, you know, if you've been sexually assaulted, it's better to abort that baby. And so that was a lie that I believed, that my assault was worse than my abortion, which is not the truth at all, because we are created to be mothers. We are created to protect life in the womb, no matter the conception. And so when I started my counseling, I started to work through my sexual assault, but I never talked about the abortion because my counselor went to my church, and I thought, if my counselor knows, he's going to go back and he's going to tell people in my church, and the church is going to kick me out. That was the lie I believed. I now know that that was not the truth. My counselor was heartbroken when he heard that, because he was like, if I would have known, I could have helped you even more, but you didn't share that part of your story. And so what ended up happening in counseling was, it was a beautiful time of healing, and I thought, man, I've had the touch of Jesus in my car. I've gone through counseling. I feel very free. And so I got involved in our church again. God was doing amazing things in our family, and it was beautiful. What I didn't know was my story was going to hit national news, but God is so gracious and so kind to prepare us for those things when we decide that we're going to follow him fully. My story hit the national news when the abortionist that I was taken to, he had hoarded 2,411 babies in his garage, and it was devastating for us, but I knew the Lord was asking me to tell the rest of my story. And kind of to back up a little bit, I skipped a little part. We are involved with Teen Challenge Ministries. We've served on their board for about a decade. And the director had asked me to go to a movie called Unplanned. Have you guys seen that movie at all? I don't know if you guys. If you haven't, I highly recommend it. And so I went to watch the movie Unplanned. What I didn't know was it was a movie about abortion. And I sat there and I thought, my life is unfolding in front of my eyes. And that's when I heard the Lord say, it's time to tell the rest of your story. And so out of obedience, I stepped out to share the rest of my story. And it started with a Right to Life group. And my heart was to go out in front of abortion clinics and reach women before they went into abortion clinics. But what ended up happening was I went for sidewalk counseling and training. And there was a sweet, sweet sister who said, have you ever gone through healing for your abortion? And I eye-rolled that lady. I thought, I am good. I had a touch of Jesus. I was good. And I heard the Lord say, how do you expect to help others if you're not willing to go there yourself? And so I went through my retreat, and I encountered the Lord in such a powerful way. For the first time, I was able to grieve the loss of my daughter, Eliana Grace. I was able to mourn the loss of our miscarried son, Malachi John, and it was powerful. It was so, so powerful. Like I shared a little bit earlier, my story did hit national news. And through that, our ministry, She Found Us Grace, was birthed. The world shut down in 2020. And most people were struggling with, what does ministry look like right now? And we started to get flooded with men and women who were hurting from past abortions, reaching out to us, finding my story online and saying, I'm really hurting and we need healing. So my husband and I, we had no idea what we were going to do. And we just stepped out in obedience to what the Lord was asking us to do. And we started She Found This Grace Abortion Recovery. And through this ministry, we are seeing men and women transform, their families restored. We think of abortion as just a woman's issue, but let me tell you, fathers are hurting too. There are men who have either asked their girlfriends or wives to get abortions, or they didn't even know. And my husband's going to talk about the men's side of things in a little bit. But we're seeing God heal people from regret, from shame, from struggling, from being feeling like they can't parent, to addictions. If we think of the foster care system, of how many kids are in foster care, if you start getting into the root of people's stories, we hear abortion is part of their story, and it is affecting so many things in our communities. Through just being obedient to the Lord, we started to serve men. We started to serve women first, and then I was asked to go and speak at a men's drug rehab, which doesn't happen very often, and I giggle because I don't know why the Lord opens those doors for me, but I told God that I would do what he asked, and it doesn't have to make sense to me. But through that, sharing my story, our program manager, who can't be here today, he sat in the pews, and he's like, why is there a woman here speaking? Why is she talking about abortion? And he struggled for a long time. And what we saw happen that night was men flooding the altar. And they were so broken. And we've just been so blessed to be able to see that. The other thing that we've seen God do is we have a hotline that we use. Through our hotline, we're able to reach men, women from all over the world. Let me back up. Nation. because we serve the women in the United States who are abortion-minded. They hear our stories of women who regret their abortions, and so they're looking for answers, and so they will text our hotline. And one of the women happened to be from Michigan, actually, and she was texting us because her boyfriend took her to a clinic and she didn't want to be there. And we were able to share our story, and because of our story, she was able to choose life, and she has a beautiful, beautiful baby now. And also, through our hands of grace, we had a woman in New York who reached out to us. And this story actually helped us define our mission for our hands of grace. She was from New York, and she reached out to us. She was super, super sick, and all she needed was someone to bring her a Gatorade. I called 13 churches for someone to go over and take her Gatorade. Can you guys guess how many churches called me back? Zero. I had zero churches call me back, and we weren't looking for money. We weren't looking for anything but someone to just take her Gatorade. And unfortunately, she made the decision to abort. And through that, we decided as a ministry that that wasn't good enough for us, that there has to be something that we could do. And so that really, the Lord just developed hands of grace. And so as a ministry, what do we need from you guys? What do we, you know, how can you guys partner with what we do? And so for one, 1 in 4 women have had abortions. I have to go by what the numbers say. And so there's probably someone here that's sitting in these pews, and you probably think that that's not the case, but the numbers are the numbers. And so if that is you, we want you to know that we have classes for you to join and to go for healing. If that is not you, you might know someone that needs to go through healing. Please stop at our table, and we want you to get information. You guys live in a state that's pretty radical. It is pretty radical when it comes to abortion. And so you might have a neighbor. You might have someone in your path that needs this. Because, you know, even as I was driving here this morning, my prayer was, I know that your state has a lot of darkness, and I was praying for the light of Jesus. I was praying for your governor. And I don't want to get into a whole political thing, because I believe abortion is a heart transformation thing, but her heart needs to be changed, right? And so think of the men and women that might have abortion in their past. Get information, because you know what? It really helps people be effective for the kingdom. And when there's that shame and that guilt, we're not able to serve fully. Maybe you guys are interested in helping with our hands of grace. We need churches to come on board that will help us get the word out. We're looking for a national database, because people are still, even if Indiana currently, where I'm from, we don't have abortions, but you know what? We have women that travel to Michigan. We have Ohio. We have Illinois. They travel all over the country. And so if you know someone in another church, in another state, please connect us, because we need churches on board to be the hands and feet of Jesus to these women that are considering abortion. And I'm going to call my husband up, and I want him to speak on just what he's seen in the men's classes. And I didn't ask if this was okay, but I'm going to ask if it's okay now. And you can say no if it's not. But I like to have interaction, because I think the church has lots of questions, and we want to be a resource to you. We want to be open. You know, the Lord's called me into this position to share, to help you guys understand as a church, because we we don't understand as a church. And I want to equip you. And I get this one moment, and the Lord's been reminding me all week to not miss opportunities. I don't want to miss an opportunity. So is that okay with you? Okay, perfect. So after he's done, we want to open it up and you guys ask us any question, because we want to be a resource to you guys.
Good morning. But before I speak, you forgot about talking about the women's classes. So I think you should share about the women's classes and what it looks like.
So our women's classes, we have a two phases. We really focus on discipleship. We are a biblical study to help women go through the grieving process, to really get set free from with Jesus. Jesus is the answer. And so the first part of our ministry for women is going through what it's like to be forgiven, what it is like to forgive others, and also just grieving the loss of their children. And at the end of our service, we actually have a memorial service for these babies. And it's so, so beautiful because, you know, our children deserve to be named. They deserve that. And so we want to give them honor and dignity. And then the second phase of our ministry is, how do we turn that pain into purpose? How is God wanting to use that pain point for a purpose? And it's just so beautiful to see women who have been so silent be able to see how Jesus meets them, frees them, transforms their family, and then they're able to use that part of their story to give God glory.
And the really cool thing about the women's classes and men is we have the ability to do it online. Serena mentioned that when 2020 came about, the world was shutting down. Everybody was used to doing things in person. God birthed our ministry at that point, and we started our ministry online. We were never in person ministry, so we didn't have to overcome those hurdles of how do we do this. God just threw us in it and said, go. And we figured a lot of things out. But the cool thing about being online is it gives women and men the opportunity to start the healing journey behind a screen. They don't have to make a step in public, so to speak, and say, this is me. They can do it from the safety of their own home and begin this journey. And the transformation that takes place in the women and the men is just amazing. To see those chains of guilt and shame and condemnation be broken off these individuals is such an amazing, it's such an honor for us to be able to be part of this. We see them come in, and the women have started taking pictures before and then after the class, and their facial expressions are so much different. You can tell that they're free. You can tell that the Lord's done an amazing work in their lives. And it's an honor, like I said. But for the men's side, we have a 12-week program. And we are. And if you guys would be so willing, you could start praying for us, because we start on Tuesday of this coming week, our first class. And in our first class, we get together and we form a club, so to speak, a safe place. Because most of us men, we don't want to open up. We don't want to cry in front of somebody. We don't want to say that we're sad or share those emotions. So our first class this week, we will be just building that club, building a safe place for men to be able to say, I'm not okay, and be truthful. So we start with that, and then we go through a 10-week Bible study on healing. We talk about anger. We talk about the love of God. We talk about forgiveness. We talk about God's forgiveness to us, and our, then once we're forgiven, our ability to forgive those that have hurt us. Because some of these men did not want to be part of the abortion experience. We had one gentleman find out that went through our class of his aborted child when he opened up his credit card statement from a soon-to-be ex-wife. And he was just, he was an angry individual. And in the flesh, I understand that. But through the Bible study, he was able to get to the point that he was able to receive forgiveness because he realized that at that point in his life, he was not a good husband. He was not a good father to the children that they had. So he realized his mistakes and he found forgiveness from the Lord. But then he was able to forgive his ex-wife for that, for aborting their child. And God just really transformed this gentleman's life. We had another guy that went through the class that he also dealt with anger. But if you were to meet him before the class, you wouldn't have known that. But his anger was towards his current children, that when they would do something, he would fly off the handle and he never realized why. But going through our class, digging deep into those emotions that sometimes, especially as men, we bury and bury and bury, he was able to figure out that he was angry at himself for aborting, being part of the abortion of his first child, which then bubbled out when he had issues with his current children. So for him, the class was just so valuable that he is able to parent his children in such a more healthy way now at this point. So to see the fruit of our ministry is just again an honor, and there's so many things that we see God doing in these individuals' lives. And we're able to walk alongside of, for me, the men, for my wife, and Deb, the women, and bring them through this journey. And our goal is to empower them to be free for Christ, to serve their local church in a much more effective way. And then if they're willing to partner alongside the ministry as different functions that we have, Serena talked about the hands of grace, or we have the classes that we're training up more leaders, because we all heard the sounds of those BBs. And that's the BBs, just not one child, but 10,000. So there's a lot of hurting individuals in our country. So we need those individuals to come through our class and find that healing. We need partners across the nation to partner with Hands of Grace. And we can kind of understand not getting any calls back from churches. If people anymore, they have caller ID and they see it's not a local number and they're like, well, what is this about? So our real goal with the Hands of Grace is just to build partnerships, to build relationships, so that when our number pops up on their caller ID, they can say, I know what this call's about. And they feel activated, and they can actually love on somebody in such a way that makes our Heavenly Father so proud. And that help is, while it's not meant to be long-term, if a church would want to partner and want to take that person under their wing, that's perfectly acceptable. But it's just to fill that short-term need. Our hotline is like the 911 call. These ladies reach out to us, and we're able to talk to them and help them as much as we can. But when we're from a distance, we can't just give them that Gatorade. So then the Hands of Grace is like a first responder, a fireman, a paramedic. They go, they meet that immediate need. And then we have our program manager that will plug those women into a local crisis pregnancy center, where they can pour into them, help give them tools, give them resources, and help them to be the parents that God would want them to be. So it's just such an honor to share in the work that the Lord's doing. And we look forward to you guys stopping at the table. And we've been invited for lunch, and we're staying for lunch. So we'll be able to meet with you guys throughout the afternoon. And if there is somebody here that is hurting from abortion, don't let that guilt and shame hold you any back. If you can't see us at the table today to talk about that, we get that. We understand. grab a card. There's our social media information. There's some QR codes. You can take a picture. You can reach out to us later on. That's perfectly fine. But whatever you do, reach out when you feel that you can. Because we're here to love on you. We're not here to condemn. We're here to love on you and show God's grace. Because there's an amazing amount of grace that has been shown to us in God's goodness. And our lives are a testimony of God's grace. We don't deserve to be standing up here on our own. God has done a tremendous work in our lives, and we're so honored. So thank you so much, and I'll give it back to Serena.
Yes, and, you know, Bruce was talking about the hands of grace, and you know, young women, they just need one person that's going to tell them that it's okay. And just kind of a quick story. Last weekend we had our gala, and I give out an award, the Eliana Grace Award, and it's for people that stand for life, even in really hard circumstances. And the lady that we gave the award to, she's from Las Vegas, and what ended up happening was her husband was pressuring her to abort her baby. And she caved. She took the abortion pill, which the abortion pill is horrific and causing so much trauma in our country. It's next level. But she took the abortion pill. She regretted it, and she was able to get in contact on our hotline. She took were able to get her connected to abortion pill reversal, which does work, and her baby's life was saved. But she had to fight for her child, because her husband all along kept saying, if you don't abort this baby, I'm going to divorce you. And he ended up divorcing her. And, you know, and our hearts are always to see families restored, but we knew that we needed to come alongside of her and help her be strong. And she's so thankful that she has her little daughter who she gave the middle name Grace to because of our ministry. And, you know, we're super proud of her. And so we're just honored to be here. We want to open it up. We want to have conversation with you guys. You know, I think it's so important to have these conversations in the church. And I want to thank your leadership for having us in here, because this is amazing. And I'm so, so thankful. Like I said before, the church has the answer. And for your leadership to have us in here is huge. It is huge. And that speaks so loudly about the leadership you have here. So I'm going to open it up. You can ask us any questions. We're transparent. There's not a dumb question. Any question is good, because we're here to walk alongside of you guys. Yes. Yeah, so my family did not survive. Like, my parents ended up splitting up. I have not seen my dad in 10 years. And my mom, God is so good in restoring our relationship, and so there's restoration in that. And I don't have any bitterness or anything towards my parents. You know, my heart is to see them. My mom gave her life to the Lord, which is awesome. I pray that my dad will one day. That is my prayer. And, you know, he's lost. So you guys can pray for my dad.
So I don't know if that was a two-part question or not, but my parents are still the same people that they were, super supportive and loving, and they care about us and our children, and now we have grandchildren, so they have great-grandchildren. So, it's cool to be able to see things through God's eyes now, and just see our choice of life back when we were 17 on how that's blossomed now and continuing to carry on the legacy, so to speak. And my grandfather's still alive, so there is, when we are able to get together, there's five generations, and that's not something that you hear about very often in today's society, just with different things that go on. So,
he would pass that off to me. So here's where I will fall in this. And my friend, he was like, because of your stance on birth control, we just keep having children. So if that answers your question without answering your question. So that's where I stand on that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think so, and I can just share my beliefs on this. So, you know, God has a plan for our children, right? And so I just trust the plan with that. And you know, I know with, like, for the plan B, I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but sometimes people will take that. And I know I'm going to have Bruce share on this because he has such a beautiful story on it. So.
Yeah, so something that may help you out in this situation would be, we had a gentleman go through our class that was living a lifestyle that was just out of control. And he shared in the class that he handed out the plan B like candy after being with a woman. So he didn't really know if he had been part of an abortion experience or not, but he took the class anyways. And through the class, the gentleman also, we also have a memorial service where we name the baby. And even that's probably week 8, I think. And up until that point, the Lord had not revealed anything to him. But as he was praying through what the gender of that child would have been, and also a name, the Lord revealed that he was, in part, through handing out the plan B, was part of an abortion experience. And he named the child and sought forgiveness. So I guess if that's something that weighs heavy on your heart, I would seek the Lord and pray about it. Because, yeah, we don't know where a child may have been in the development stage at that point of the plan B or of just birth control. So I don't know if that helps you out or not, but that's been my experience to see that gentleman go through that. And the Lord just answering his prayer. And we had another one, too, that handed out the plan B, but the Lord never revealed any gender or any name or anything. So we kind of felt like there was two different answers, one that you were part of it and one that you were not part of it. So that's what I would have to offer.
Miss Deb, do you want to come up? So Deb is, yeah, I'll have Bruce talk about the men's classes. My position has changed quite a bit since we started this ministry. Deb is in the classes, and I do a lot of traveling and speaking, and Bruce leads classes. So I'm going to let these two take the wheel and talk into that because they're the people that are doing it.
So to date, we've had 16 men go through classes, and we kind of start the class after we get a group together. This next class that we start is a really unique class. We have two which we'll label as students that are going through the class for healing, and then we have four that are going through the class, two that have been through different classes, and one that's a pastor of a local church in Goshen that doesn't have abortion in his past, but he just wants to come alongside men in their healing journey. So they're all taking this class to learn how to lead future classes. So that's just a really neat that we've had ladies, I don't know if I'll steal your thunder or not, but okay, that have gone through the class, and we had a leader for a while that does not have abortion in their past in the women's class. And this lady shared how much it meant that somebody who does not have abortion in their past would take time and care for them, because that individual that shared that was just under such weight, like, I'm not worthy. But then after experiencing that, that it's just beautiful what the Lord does. So yeah, our size of the class just depends on how many people. So we have six this time, we had six last time, and we had four the first time. So it kind of varies. So should you have the mic? So our last class, when we do the memorial service, we recognize babies as part of the memorial service. And this is something I should have shared on, so good point. But we did it in a local church by us, and we have men. So we use the table down front, and we have cards that they recognize their child's. There were 16 children that were lost to abortion in that class of six. And it's just something to see. Since we're up front, we can see the guys out there and they're processing this. Part of our service is, you'll notice on our back table, there's the little fetal model, which is 10 to 12 weeks old. It's just something to see a man just hold that model. You know, and some of these guys have great big palms, and some of them just sit there and they cradle this little one in their hand that whole service. And the tears just stream off their face. And it's just such a time of healing that they recognize what they were part of, but they also recognize the forgiveness that they've received. And that's so much more what our Lord and Savior is about, because we all fall short of the glory of the Lord no matter what it is. And to receive that forgiveness is such a beautiful thing. And they just sit there and the class or the service ends, and we get up and just kind of share and talk. And there's a couple of gentlemen that are just sitting there just still just kind of going like this of the weight of it all. And it's just, it's really such an awesome thing. So.
And to speak on that, I think that it's so powerful for the men to see the babies, because their experience is different than women's. And so they make that connection of, like, man, and that fatherhood. And so it's just a powerful moment. The men walk in one way, and they leave completely different. And it's so powerful. And our men's class started after our women's, but we're seeing such great fruit in our men's ministry.
So I am the abortion recovery director at the She Founders Grace Ministry, and I've been there since the beginning. And so 2020 is when we started our classes, and we do them online. There's normally four women in the class. And the beauty is that you could have someone from Louisiana and someone from California and someone from Texas and in your class, you know. So we always see it as this ripple effect, you know, how you drop the pebble in and God's doing healing in her life, but it just reverberates out, you know, from her and to her friends and to that area. And so God is truly doing a healing all around our country. And a couple of Tuesdays ago, we finished our first Africa class. And so it's amazing, truly amazing how God is wanting to redeem and restore broken lives, you know, from abortion. And they've asked us in Africa, a lot of them don't speak English. And so they want our curriculum in Spanish and French, you know, and it's like, wow, when you think of us, you know, it's just what God does with your yes is just so powerful. And so Bruce kind of touched on it a little. Sometimes you're not post-abortive, but God has just burned that passion in you to help. And I think a post-abortive woman has bought the lie that, if you're not post-abortive, you don't get me. You don't understand me. You don't have a voice. You know, and that's such a lie from the enemy, because you do have a voice. You know, when God gives you that passion and that burning, he just wants your yes. He wants your yes. And so our classes, like I said, we normally have 4 women in the class, and a lot of them have never told their story. I had a lady from Georgia, and she had her abortion 40 years ago, and I was the first person that she ever told. And so can you imagine living with that regret and that remorse for 40 years, And just watching God move in her, and at the memorial service, she named her little guy Isaac. And we all know Isaac means laughter. And man, she was just bubbling with such joy. And she was just so excited that she felt she could finally say his name. I can finally recognize Isaac. She knows he's in heaven. She knows as a believer she's going to see him one day. But she gets to shepherd Isaac's legacy, you know, by sharing with others just that choice that she made. But God, the Redeemer, restores. And he said, let your story be my story. You know, it's no longer what, look what I've done. But it's like, look what God has done, you know, with my mess. And, you know, if all of us, you know, if we could go back in time, man, I'd turn the clock. I would make a different choice. But I can't do that. But God says, if you will let me use it, it'll all be for good. And so actually a couple of Tuesdays ago, we started our first in-person class, which was really exciting, you know, because it's one thing when you're walking through people and to actually get your arms around their necks. But we have found that just through the classes online, when we go back out to the clinic, we call it boots on the ground. And so those that are in that area that have found that healed voice, because that's what we're not there yelling nose to nose, toes to toes with people. We're sharing my story, you know, and you just cannot deny what Jesus has done. People recognize that. They know transparency, and we're sick of this mask, and we're sick of this mask, you know. And God said, if you will be real, if you will be real, church, we could change the world. I truly believe we can change the world. Jesus is the answer. But when we hide behind our mask, because I'm so afraid what Joni's going to say. I'm afraid what Mark might say. But, you know, we don't fear, man. I know who my identity is. I'm blood bought through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I just pray, Lord, give me that blood bought backbone. I want that blood bought backbone that's going to make a difference, that's going to stand up. And whether you like me or whether you don't, doesn't matter. I'm not looking for your approval. I'm looking for the approval of one. And so it's just so good what God does. So thanks for having us.
All right, so you guys can come see us in the back. We want to make connections with you guys and talk with you and pray with you, whatever that is. We're here to serve you guys. We have resources out there, and we look forward to getting to know you better.
Like she said, we have resources. We also have our book. And the proceeds from the sale of our book support the ministry. If there's anybody that doesn't feel comfortable with leaving a donation today, there's envelopes you can take and you can put a check in the mail. But we take checks, cash, and those that are more technological savvy than me, we take cards. So we take it all, and just feel free to stop by. And like I said, the proceeds help us be able to continue our ministry. So thank you so much.